Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour cosmic cocktail party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, San Diego to San Angelo, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How we doing, everybody? Big show coming up for you. How about broadcasting legend and one of the stars of Happy Gilmore, Vern Lundquist, is going to join us. Uncle Vern, longtime voice of the SEC on CBS, one of the legendary, iconic voices of CBS sports in general. Vern is going to join us coming up here in the second hour of the program. And you know what I'm going to ask Uncle Vern about? The playoff, the college football playoff. Do we need an expanded playoff? What's Uncle Vern's thoughts on finally getting to a 4-team playoff? And now, Cage is rattled for something even bigger. We'll do that coming up a little over an hour from now. Also, the 12 DAs of Christmas this morning. We finally hit the ground running with number 12. That is coming up this hour. The 12 DAs of Christmas, as we count down the greatest moments of 2018, begins in earnest with number 12 coming your way 35 minutes from now. What would you call multiple deer? We will discuss, did Kelvin Benjamin find a new rock bottom yesterday? Do we believe in Markel Fultz's diagnosis? How delusional is Klay Thompson and the Warriors? And how the hell did Mike Locksley get another head coaching job in college football? All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, those topics or anything else you want to hit on, you can hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. 227. You can get at me on Twitter as always, DA on CBS. But we begin with the football coaching hot stove, if you will. After Mike McCarthy was fired over the weekend, there's already been a lot of speculation who is going to be Aaron Rodgers' next head coach. And will Mike McCarthy get another job? Well, I think Mike McCarthy is going to get another job if he wants to come back and he wants to coach this upcoming season. I think there will be suitors that have been perhaps losers for a while that look at the stability and the winning and the championship that he brought to Green Bay and know that they were a perennial contender and that he went to the postseason 9 different times in Green Bay and say, we'll take that. Absolutely, we'll take that. And I think that's fair to Mike McCarthy. I think the idea that McCarthy needs a change of scenery to be effective again is absolutely valid. Anytime you've been anywhere for a really long time, the message can wane. You know, energy just ends up stagnating. And so McCarthy somewhere else? Look, I don't think all of the problems that the Packers have had is on McCarthy. I think they needed to make a change. He had lost Aaron Rodgers. And once you lose your star quarterback, it's going to be a problem. But I think Mike McCarthy can, say, take over the New York Jets or take over the Cleveland Browns or take over a team that has gotten used to losing and bring them a little juice. I believe that. For the Packers job itself, it should be one of the most enticing jobs in all of football because you get to coach one of the greatest quarterbacks ever in his prime. Those jobs don't oftentimes roll around. You can go to New York and coach the Jets, and you've got to hope that Sam Darnold becomes something and that you don't get fired before he becomes something. Same thing in Cleveland with the Browns. You got to hope that Baker Mayfield is something, becomes something, and that you don't get the zig before Baker Mayfield does ascend into that role. But you go to Green Bay, and you know what? You are inheriting the greatest advantage competitively in all of football, a star quarterback in his prime. Now, perhaps Rodgers is towards the back end of his prime, but he's still in his prime. He's not 37 or 38 yet. And one name that has popped up is Josh McDaniels. Offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, the guy that was the Indianapolis Colts head coach last year, only to pull out at the last minute. So here's my question. As Packers fans, at least some of you guys, have started clamoring for McDaniels, my question is this. Yeah, the Green Bay job is an enticing one. And yes, Josh McDaniels has a very solid resume. And yes, if we've known anything and seen anything, perhaps for Patriots assistant coaches, it's best to run them back a second time because the first time always blows up in your face. I mean, I suppose except for Bill O'Brien, although Bill O'Brien was a head coach at Penn State before he was the head coach at Houston. But maybe McDaniels is better the second time around. But here's the question. After what he did to the Colts, if you're Green Bay or you're another team and you're looking at McDaniels this offseason, can you really trust him? But I see his name pop up on all these searches and I say, can you really trust McDaniels? Do you really want to go back down that road again? It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
No, not at all. If I ever returned coaching, it would only be in Cleveland. Yeah, it is, and it just I have no desire to coach at Green Bay.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So that was Bruce Arians right here on CBS Sports Radio on with Zach Gelb. And Bruce Arians, another name that has popped up in these coaching searches. Now he's saying he does not like the Packers job or does not want the Packers job or does not have eyes for the Packers job, only the Browns job. For Josh McDaniels himself, no, I don't trust him. And yes, I know he's a very good offensive mind. At least I think so. It's kind of hard to say when you've got Tom Brady and you're coaching him. I think a lot of guys would look pretty smart. We've seen Charlie Weiss look pretty smart with Tom Brady. But ultimately, I can't go back down that road without expecting to be burned again. I can't trust McDaniels. I can't go down that road of going through the interview process, offering him the job, and then expecting him to be loyal to me. Reports are that NFL teams will not be scared away by what happened to the Colts last year, and I think that's a mistake. And I was applauding the Colts for hiring McDaniels. This is not an anti-Patriots take. I just can't be burned again. You know, you see the gal that was engaged before and then on their wedding day bails. And you go, and I'm supposed to trust that it's going to work out well for me? I can't do that. I can't trust that. Now, I might go into it and going, I have no better options and this is worth the risk. But if I'm an NFL team and McDaniels is out there as the shiny object this offseason, I'm not putting myself in position to be gagged again because, you know, Frank Reich might be a very good option for them. And Reich this year, he's a 500 coach, but they've shown some life offensively with Indianapolis. But they put themselves behind the eight ball so badly because they weren't in on the other coaches that were hired prior. They thought they had their guy in McDaniels and then got screwed. If you are the Packers, and let's say you go down the road of McDaniels again, you might assume, well, he couldn't do it again. He's not going to sacrifice his reputation again. But look, it worked out fine for him last time. What's the repercussions? It sounds like teams are still interested in McDaniels. He could do it to you again. Even if he doesn't accept the job, you could go down the road. He could take the job and then have regrets about it a year later. Bat his eyelashes at the New England Patriots if and when Belichick retires. If he's willing to do that to the Colts last year, he's willing to do that to you. If you're the Packers, I know there's an enticement when it comes to McDaniels. I would look the other way. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. And as for Bruce Arians, look, interesting coach. Certainly took him far too long to get a head coaching gig. What he did in Arizona, very impressive. But because Bruce Arians has basically admitted to being burned out, I'm sorry, I just also can't trust Arians to take over my program, take over my organization. Coaching in the NFL takes too much energy, too much time. It is too pressurized. There's only 16 games that make or break you. And every week is another buildup to what is a mini Super Bowl. A game, a moment that can dictate the future of your season and your organization. You can't be half in, half out. I'm sorry. I get wanting to be selective if you are an accomplished head coach and you have options. I understand that. And for Bruce Arians to say, I'm accomplished, I've got a good reputation, I'm only looking at the Browns job, that's fine, that's his right. But if you're going to walk away from coaching because you're burned out, at his age, he's very old to be a head coach, and you're going, I'm only coming back for that job, I'm worried about that. And I like Bruce Arians, and he did great things in Arizona, and it took him too long to get there. But he's 66 years old, and he said he walked away because of age, pressure, health. No, sorry. I can't trust my organization with that. That feels like a half-in, half-out scenario. Also, what's best-case scenario? Best-case scenario is you hire Sean McVay, and you know that McVay is there because he gets the job at 31 years old for a minimum of 10 years. And your best case scenario is you hire a guy that wins multiple championships and is there for 15. Best case scenario is you're Bill Belichick and you're there for 20 years and you've won 5 Super Bowls and it feels like you can coach forever. So hiring a guy who's 66 years old, you ain't ever going to get that out of him. When we come back here on the show, Kelvin Benjamin used his offseason to rip his former MVP quarterback and then said last month he had hit rock bottom in his career. And then yesterday, he got released by one of the worst teams in football. Have we found a new rock bottom yet, Kelvin Benjamin? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little Drippy 24-7.
DA, beat me up. Finally on the mothership. I love your show, man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Brand new PGP is out, the Permission Granted podcast. This week, we break down holiday Christmas treats with the dessert coordinator. Plus, was I in the wrong for keeping my little hands from getting grubby in changing a flat tire on one of my Nomad trips? And we debate whether our protocol this year for the 12 days of Christmas was proper. We've got number 12 of the 12 DAs coming up here in about 18 minutes from now. What would you call multiple deer? That's coming up, number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas. And download the brand new PGP, available on iTunes, everywhere else that podcasts are downloaded, and on our website, daoncbs.com. It's an Ask the Pros kind of day, so tweet at me your question, at daoncbs. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So, Kelvin Benjamin had a good start to his pro career. This is a guy that was drafted in one of the most impressive wide receiver collections ever in NFL history. And his rookie season, his early years with the Carolina Panthers, solid. His first season, 2014, with the Panthers, he catches 73 balls, more than 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Now, a rookie wide receiver that catches 70 passes for 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns, you're thinking to yourself, this guy's got a career ahead of him. And then remember, tears his ACL preseason 2015. And that's the year the Panthers are the one seed of the NFC and go all the way to the Super Bowl. Cam Newton is an MVP, and they lose to the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. He comes back in 2016, and people are saying, well, they went to a Super Bowl without Kelvin Benjamin. Now that he's back, another weapon for Cam. Okay, here we go. And again, a solid year with Carolina in 2016, 63 catches, 940 yards, but only plays in 13 games, or only starts 13 games. He's still working his way back from the injury, 7 touchdowns. Again, good first 2 years when he's healthy. And then comes 2017, last year, where he begins the year with Carolina. And there's the rumors of, oh boy, Kelvin Benjamin is out of shape. And oh boy, Kelvin Benjamin is not bought in. And oh boy, Kelvin Benjamin is a headache. And so they trade Benjamin to the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills, I believe, trade away a 3rd and a 7th for Benjamin. Okay, but Buffalo's going, look, we've made the playoffs. We've now drafted a young quarterback in Josh Allen. We've lost Sammy Watkins, but we've lost Robert Woods, but we're going to end up assembling a group of wideouts around our young quarterback, and Benjamin's going to be one of them. And this year, Kelvin Benjamin stinks. This guy is getting bumped off of the field by undrafted free agents. This is a guy where the coaching staff doesn't trust his effort at all. This is a guy that is clearly in the tank emotionally. And maybe it's the losing. And I can understand if it is the losing. Losing's not easy, especially if you haven't done it before. And when you're playing for Carolina, you know you're going to be in the playoff hunt every year. Your team has gone to a Super Bowl, even if you were not part of that team. Understandably, you would go, boy, this is really tough. But if you're a Bills fan, you've been watching Benjamin, and you're going, he's not all in. He's not committed. This is not a guy that really wants to be here. And remember, before the season, Benjamin takes his shots at Cam Newton. Now, Cam Newton's not the perfect quarterback, but he's essentially saying, thank God I don't have to play with Cam Newton anymore. Thank goodness I get to play with a different quarterback, because now I'll show you who I really am. Not so much. A couple of weeks ago, Kelvin Benjamin calls it rock bottom for his career. This year's been bad. The Bills have been bad as well. People are calling out his effort. He's saying it's just a bad season. just football, man. You got good seasons, you've got bad seasons. I've had successful seasons in this league. I'll have plenty more, but it's just not this year. I can't really go out there and really have fun. Can't do it no more because the fans have kind of taken the fun out of it. Just bombarded by the fans and bombarded by the people. The way of our life, I guess, right now, end of quote. Hey, I'm not here to argue how negative things can be on social media. If you care about it, you should see some of the things that I get. My goodness, people are angry. People are mean. They're mean-spirited. They think that because they're not face-to-face with you, they can call you names and say awful things. They're just mean. So I get that negativity can pull you down, but Kelvin Benjamin needs to realize that he also reaps what he sows. You're going to blast an NFL MVP as your quarterback as you start a season with Josh Allen as your starter. And anybody that has seen Kelvin Benjamin play and show up to training camp totally overweight understands that he's got some blame here too. And Benjamin said it was rock bottom last month. Well, I would say when you're released by one of the worst teams in football, just a year after they traded away a third rounder for you, no, Kelvin, now it's rock bottom.
You are a machine of death.
I would say right now, this officially is the new rock bottom for you. And if you go back to that 2014 NFL draft, how embarrassing is it? Because Kelvin Benjamin is so obviously the worst of the bunch. In 2014, the Bills took Sammy Watkins number 4. Speaking of the Bills, speaking of wide receivers, Watkins has not become the star that we thought he might be, but a serviceable wide receiver right now for one of the best teams in football. Odell Beckham taken number 12 by the New York Giants. He has been a headache at times, but very obviously one of the best wide receivers in the game. Number 20, the New Orleans Saints take Brandon Cooks. Cooks, again, not still with the Saints, but went to the Patriots, and Brandon Cooks has had a very serviceable, if not very productive, start to his career. And then there came Kelvin Benjamin at number 28 with the Carolina Panthers, who is now flat out released by the Buffalo Bills. Don't look beyond those first couple of guys then into the second round because the wide receivers fall off the table. Marquise Lee, Paul Richardson, yikes. Although you do have a Jordan Matthews in there, more importantly, you have a Davante Adams in there in the second round by the Green Bay Packers. You also have an Allen Robinson in the second round for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and a Jarvis Landry in the second round as well for the Miami Dolphins, now the Cleveland Browns. So, Mraz, if you are Kelvin Benjamin and you're looking around and you're going, my draft class is Odell, Jarvis Landry, Davante Adams, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, how you feeling about yourself right now?
Very fat. I mean, what a disaster. What a disaster. We should have known all along when you look at how Jameis Winston's career went. You know, that was the connection down there in Florida State. How did that team win anything down there? Pretty amazing. But if you're Sammy Watkins, what a loser. And even more, if you're the Bills.
If you are not Sammy Watkins.
I'm sorry. Kelvin Benjamin. I was going to get the Sammy Watkins. If you're the Bills, how big of losers do you feel like? In that wide receiver draft class, they trade up for Sammy Watkins, miss out on all these other players, Mike Evans and Odell Beckham, and then end up having to trade him because he wasn't good enough, and then you end up getting Kelvin Benjamin. You get the other stiff from that class.
There's only two stiffs. Actually, Watkins isn't even really a stiff.
No, he's not, but he's not what he should have been for trading up for him.
Right. You trade away a number one draft pick to go get Sammy Watkins. He lasts 3 seasons for you. You then go back in into the wide receiver pool of that class, and you get the biggest bum out of those guys, and that is obviously what we're talking about now with Benjamin.
They might as well sign John Brown this offseason and just create the trifecta.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back on the show, number 12. On the 12 DAs of Christmas, what would you call multiple deer DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The glitch in the simulation.
Everybody was in an uproar. Maybe this guy's thinking, hey, 25 years old. Sorry.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. As always, you can listen to us so many different ways, especially on your phone. End up going to your phone and download the CBS Sports app or the radio.com app or Apple Music, and you can listen to the show. Also, check us out by simply going to Sirius XM Channel 206. If we're not on a CBS Sports Radio affiliate in your area, Sirius XM Channel 206. Coming up next hour on the show, the great Vern Lundquist is going to join us here on the program. Very excited about that. Uncle Vern in the house. After a guy who has called so many SEC championship games and so many huge SEC college football games, can't wait to ask him about this year's college football playoff, this year's Alabama squad, and the cries for an expanded college football playoff. I understand the cries because the way that it is right now is very nebulous. It's very vague. It's very murky. Is this most deserving or is this best? For Georgia, it has put this on blast. Georgia is one of the four best teams of the country, but they did not get in because of quote-unquote deserving. Can't convince me that there's a whole lot of other teams that could have done to Alabama what Georgia did, but they're not going to put in a two-loss team that didn't win its conference. It's not going to happen. So in this case, while last year they went with best, not most deserving, that's why they put in Alabama, this year they did not go with best, they went with most deserving when it came to Oklahoma because they had won their conference championship with one loss. So yeah, it's murky. I don't have a problem with the way that it is as long as we accept that they make up the rules as they go along. If we expand it to six, it's a cleaner way of doing so. What you would do then is the five conference champions and then one wild card that you could make a group of five champion like UCF, or you could have as the one wild card that does not win their conference this year, perhaps being a Notre Dame or a Georgia or something like that. But therein lies a problem again. I don't want to see this go to eight. I'd rather see this go to six and the top two seeds have a bye. But what happens if you just go to six and say, okay, now the six most deserving teams or the six best teams go in? Are you going to take the top six of the college football playoff rankings? Or are you then going to institute you must win your conference? And so thus we could have a 7-5 conference winner like Pitt get into the college football playoff. Is that what we want as well? It's time to get a little jiggy with it. It's time for the official beginning of the greatest moments of 2018. You guys know it as the 12 DAs of Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, getting 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
Tired of it, man. I just want good football, DA. I want good football. You know I love this team.
These two guys. C students, we want these two bozos.
Hey, he got a welfare fraudulent. Boop, boop, boop.
Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church! Of the church!
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is. I would smoke it and then, of course, finish with some lemon zest.
So what happens if I don't have a smoker?
Of course you could just go to your neighbor's place. As they're burning up some growth, you know, from the winter, then just put it on top of that.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said,
too. Oh, I definitely would have.
I am a big boy.
Guys, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's the hair!
Yay!
It's the hair! I haven't seen her!
That's her!
Yay!
What a full of joy you are.
Big boy.
That's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with chicks!
Number 12 of the 12 Days of Christmas goes back to January the 11th. We were discussing Kirk Ferentz's house. This was in the news. There were deer all over the place. A neighbor for Kirk Ferentz got really upset, I believe, about the deer all around, which led us to Mraz trying to decipher what you would call multiple deer.
Number 12.
What about the trees? Now we're bringing in trees to Kirk? Kirk Ferentz can't have trees on the road?
And wouldn't the gravel be easier on the deer's feet as well? Is it deer's or die?
Well, it's definitely not die. It's not. Multiple deer is not die. It's just deer.
Like mooses and moose and mice.
You think it's my?
Mice. Something. But all right, anyway.
You thought multiple deer were die. Like that's a group of die then.
Or like they call, maybe that's what they call the pride of them. You know, the pack.
The pride of what?
The pride is like a group of animals.
Yeah.
They call them, like, the die.
It's only a group
I don't know where I heard that from.
It's only a group of lions.
They're called die?
No.
I'm confused now, but anyway.
They're called a pride of lions.
Yeah, so that's only lions, not every animal.
Correct.
All right. I thought I heard die was a group of deer at some point.
Die.
My God.
It's deers, then? It's a bunch of deers?
It's just deer, no S. Just deer.
So a
deer.
Single deer and two deer, or both deer.
That's right.
Okay.
So what Roman numeral would a six deer be?
Six die.
I'll say this again. It is a miracle we get this show on the air. It's a miracle. Josh tweets in, either Mraz is the dumbest person I've ever heard or plays an amazing character. Whatever it is, it's working. Hashtag puffiness with sodium.
Puffiness with sodium.
Hashtag pride of die. And then in the break, we were all like, come on. And Bogish actually came in here, didn't even have an update, and said, I don't even believe this anymore. In other words, like, how can anybody be that stupid? And Mraz said, come on. And I said, you really thought multiple deer were called a pride? And he said, yeah, like pride of the Yankees.
Multiple Yankees.
You think that that's the reference, that pride of the Yankees means a group of Yankees?
In doing a little research, I'm gathering, it's like when they say pinstripe pride, you know, it's like you're proud to be a Yankee.
Right.
But when I hear pride of the Yankees, what is it? Proud of the Yankees doesn't make any sense. So I took that as like the group of Yankees.
Well, you can hold pride in being a Yankee. That's the pride of being a Yankee, the pride of the Yankees.
Gotcha.
Okay. But you thought it was like that's what you call the team. Like, oh, there goes the pride of the
Yankees.
Or
like a group of somebody. Like if five Phillies walk into a bar, you go, that's the pride of the Phillies right
there. That's the pride of the Phillies. Right. So five hobos walk out of the subway platform. That's the pride of the hobos.
Pride
right there.
Of the hobos.
Number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas, January the 11th. Mraz goes pride of die, which becomes the pride of the hobos.
Pride of the hobos.
That's even funnier every time I listen to it.
Oh, man. Like a group of anything is a pride. Oh, look, there's five Starbursts together. The pride of the Starburst right there.
I thought Gehrig and Ruth, they were a group of Yankees. They were the pride of Yankees. Still very confusing. Why gives lions a pride?
I just bought a bag of pasta. Look, it's a pride of spaghetti. I just bought a whole pride of spaghetti. So ridiculous. Number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas. By the way, all of the DAs will be available on YouTube. So you can go to YouTube. You've already seen the first two, number 14 and number 13. They were the first two teams out. And now today after the show, we'll have number 12 posted on YouTube as well. All of them on our Facebook, also facebook.com/TheDA Show. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Brandon's next up in Pennsylvania, listening to 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Brandon.
Morning, DA. Love the show, bud. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir. What's up?
Wanted to let Mraz know that in PA, we do call a group of deer herd. And when you were talking about that, it made me think of the Eagles' offense. When they go into Arlington, into Jerry's World on Sunday at 4:25 and take on the dominant Dallas defense, and they're going to look like deer in headlights with the best linebacking crew in the game. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I'm a Cowboys fan in Pennsylvania, so all I hear about is the Eagles.
I'm glad that you brought this up because I'm getting some friendly fire from Cowboys fans that listen to the show. Bob tweets, you've ripped the clapper all year. Now Dallas has won four in a row, and I haven't heard you mention them once. You took the Friday off after their victory over the Saints. Was that just a coincidence? Bob, yes. I did not take that day off because the Cowboys beat the Saints. Look, I think the Cowboys are playing much better football than the Eagles right now. I know that the Eagles have gotten themselves back into the race at 6-6 with a couple of wins. But let's look at who they have beaten. They've beaten a dreadful Giants team. And they were down to that game by 16 points. Nobody should trail the Giants by two touchdowns, let's face it. And they beat a wounded, brutal Washington team that had Mark Sanchez in there. I like the way the Cowboys are playing. I really like that the Cowboys at home. And as I've said before, I think the Cowboys finally relented and said, just let Dak be Dak. And that's what they should have done since day one of the season. They've been trying to go square peg round hole for Dak Prescott. They've been trying to develop him into a pocket passer. And from a larger scope, I understand it because you're going to have a longer career if you don't take those shots. And if you want to become truly one of the great quarterbacks in the game, then becoming an elite pocket passer is mandatory. You can be mobile. You can be mobile. But you have to be a great pocket passer first and foremost. And Steve Young proved that. John Elway proved that. You could be a Hall of Famer and mobile and make plays, but you have to be brilliant from the pocket. So what they were looking at was, in a vacuum, mobile quarterback, you've got to try to make him a pocket passer first and foremost. The problem is Dak is never going to be that. He's just not accurate enough. He's not good enough in going through his reads. He's not going to throw it into a window that's about yay high, yay big. So you've got to use what he brings to the table. And what he brings to the table is mobility and strength while running and ability to make plays while scrambling and kind of out of the pocket where it's hard to be able to defend in a traditional way. So just let him do that. You can win games that way. You can win a division this year that way. The NFC East is down, way down. Win the division. Don't try to make Dak something that he's not. Put the saddle on Zeke. Let Dak be difficult to defend because of his legs. Design rollouts for him. Design bootlegs for him. Design RPOs for him. Design options for him. Great. Great. And we knew that the defense was going to be good. The offense had to catch up. And now the defense is playing really well, and the offense has seemingly caught up. I didn't like the trade for Amari Cooper. I thought that was a disaster because I didn't think they were Amari Cooper away from winning the division. You know what? I could be totally wrong because this division is so bad. And I also thought you're not Amari Cooper away from doing anything of significance. I still think that the Cowboys, whoever wins this division, I think are going to be an easy out in the wild card round. But hey, I wouldn't have done the Cooper deal. I would have waited for the offseason to draft a wide receiver that I felt could be Amari Cooper and then have him on a rookie deal so that I could then spend money to re-sign DeMarcus Lawrence, to re-sign Ezekiel Elliott, to eventually re-sign Dak. But you know what? To this point in time, the Cowboys, I have no problem saying this, are the best team in the NFC East. And I think it's them with a bullet, honestly. Because I never trusted Washington, but certainly down to Mark Sanchez, their season is over. The Giants are dreck. And the Eagles just simply cannot put it together long enough for me to believe that they've got anything close to a semblance of what they had last year when they won a Super Bowl. Cowboys are the best team in the NFC East. They should win this division, and they should with this game on Sunday. And in fact, I think they will. I'm picking them to win this game on Sunday against the Eagles. And Philly's going to end up this season at 8-8, and probably the Cowboys are going to be 9-7 or 10-6. My guess is it's going to be 9-7, but look, Dallas will end up hosting a playoff game. I'm writing it down right now. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Markel Fultz, do we believe this newest diagnosis? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.